Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving the fans a platform. Thank you for joining us. So, in case you've been living under a rock, the Orange will face West Virginia in the Camping World Bowl this Friday, December 28th at 5:15. We'll tell you what to expect. We're having our buddy Tyler Marone on from the Trademark Podcast to see what he thinks. And also, he's going to come on to talk about some early signees for the 2019 class. But first, as always, we're going to hear from the folks at MyBookie. And as you know, I just mentioned bowl season is here. It's time to get in on the action. If you're going to get in on any action with putting money down on these bowl games, you might as well just go to MyBookie. Don't be the guy with no rooting interest as your relatives and friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year. Not when there's 41 bowl games to bet on, including the national championship on January 7th. Is really the most wonderful time of year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money during the bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but don't take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for this bowl season. Just use promo code QS25 when you deposit to activate that offer. That's promo code QS25, and you know the deal. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Okay, so we did do an Arkansas State post game, and we're doing back-to-back episodes. So if this pops up first on your feed, you can go back and listen to that if you want. And as we mentioned,
still relevant.
Do what?
So it's still relevant.
It's still relevant, yeah. And because Syracuse does not play again until next Saturday, it's going to be relevant till then, obviously. And also, what we're going to do is we're going to do the same Bonaventure pregame, probably just after Christmas. And that reminds me, because I know I'll forget at the end of the show. I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and enjoy your families and have a good time and all that stuff. Everybody gets most people get a few days off, and especially thanks to our military who can't be here with their families, those who are, you know, overseas serving our country. Thank you to them. So, yeah. What do we got? Oh, yeah. Bowl game.
Right into it. Bowl game, bud.
Sure. Right into it. I'm like, I'm looking for something else I need to do, but I don't. Syracuse is looking for their first bowl win in 5 years. They're looking for a 10-win season since 2001. The Orange leads this series with West Virginia, all-time 33-27. They've won three straight, actually. The last meeting, as everybody should remember, was the Snow Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl in 2012. Now, West Virginia is going to roll with Will Greer's out. Kajust is out, who's Will Greer's blindside tackle. So, it was
one of their top two receivers, Gary Jennings Jr. He's out too with an ankle injury.
Okay, well, there you go. So, there's no point in really talking about the offense of West Virginia because all of it is speculation, because all of the numbers are based upon mostly Will Greer. So,
right.
You've got two quarterbacks. You got Jack Allison, And he is actually, he played a little bit in West Virginia's bowl game last year. He's a transfer from Miami. He did appear in four games this season. He threw the ball 10 times for 75 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Now, Trey Lowe is, he's a dual threat quarterback. That's what I've read. He's a three-star recruit from the 2018 class, and he was actually competing for the backup job during the spring and the season with Jack Allison. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of your offense. It's a lot of unknowns. I mean, the defense, West Virginia defense, they give up a ton of yards. And, yeah. You know, as we know,
that's going to be the key, I think, because we can't, I mean, we don't have nothing to really go against, you know. I think they're just probably going to try to put a game plan in for both of them, but we haven't seen too much of Trey Lowe. I think they were planning on redshirt him, and, I mean, that was one of the things that Holgerson's actually came out and talked about, and something I talked about with one of my buddies who's on my softball team, Tim. He's a diehard West Virginia fan, and I think it's looking like with the guys sitting out that they're going to kind of use this as a jump off to kind of help with next year and give a lot of true freshmen. And, you know, with the whole four game, you can play four games and still redshirt rule. He's going to take complete, you know, advantage of that in this game. So that's really going to be the key. You're going to have a new kind of look offense. They're going to have a couple seniors out there. I know Sills is a senior receiver. He's pretty good. He's probably going to be playing in the NFL. So they're still going to have some guys. They do like to run the ball. McCoy, he's got over 100 carries for over 700 yards and seven touchdowns. So we just don't know what to expect. Jack Allison, he's a guy that sits in the pocket. Trey Lowe, he's going to move around. And the unknown is really the scariest thing about their offense, because we really don't know what we're going for. So, I mean, in one instance, we have a team that's kind of looking toward next year. And this year, obviously, with us, we're kind of doing the same thing. But we still have some seniors that are going to go in there and try to, you know, get the business done. They still got something to prove for this season. West Virginia's goals were lost, and we've kind of gone over ours. So we still have something to play for and a lot more motivation, I think, than they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the excitement lands with Syracuse, West Virginia's. You know, you got guys that you got your star quarterbacks not playing. I mean, like we've been over it. I understand it. I get it. But right. the unknown in the offense, it doesn't really scare me too much. I think you see Trey Lowen, you got to expect some kind of quirky play. I mean, maybe they run, who the hell knows? But,
right.
you know, he's likely going to be running the ball a lot if he's in.
Yeah, and they might do a lot of read option,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
And he might run the ball and it could change it up. So we're going to have two different looks. And again, I mean, I say that like we come in with the motivation. But again, these are young players that are coming in to prove themselves too. So, I mean, it could go really, really bad for one of them, or you never know. Someone could step up and kind of take the rank. For all intents and purposes, this is a quarterback competition for next year with these two.
Yeah, as they're already they're already neck and neck apparently anyway.
Right.
Throughout
so,
the year.
I mean, from what I'm under, the way I'm looking at it is they're going to start the game. They'll probably start Allison and they'll go back and forth and see what's working, see who's doing what, and you know, maybe just wait for one of them to take it over. Yeah, you know, and after that, you never know. And then maybe the excitement builds with them and the young team, and maybe them looking at the future because one of them might be playing good. So it ought to be a pretty high scoring, exciting game, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and then you look at our offense, ranked 12th nationally with 40.8 points a game, and we've also.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hit 50 or more 4 times this year. Averaging 468.8 yards a game, which ranks 16th. So you got a high-powered offense. Like, you know, this is kind of the matchup we're looking at. You know, our offense versus their defense. I think that's right. The best. I think that's the best matchup for us.
Yeah,
obviously.
Well,
right?
I mean, I went ahead and I looked at some of their defense stats, and only 2 of the top 10 tacklers on their team are linebackers or defensive linemen. Actually, they're both linebackers.
So
there's not even any defensive linemen up there. So it's 8 of the top 10 are corners or safeties. So that tells me that, you know, teams get, you know, they complete a lot of passes and they get to the second level a lot against this defense. And again, they had a lot of injuries and some stuff like that. West Virginia, they had, coming into the season, they had high expectations and they were on a roll there for a little while until just the injuries, and they ended up losing 2 straight to Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. And that kind of ruined their expectations. They didn't get to play that game down here against NC State, which I might think might have hurt their chance. They go and win that game, then they might not even be playing in this game. They might be playing Washington State, and we might be playing against the Iowa State. But, like, that's why I look at the motivation. So, again, it's just going to be – the unknown is kind of, you know, weird, and I'm
kind of exciting, though. You're going.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna
see Dungy's last game, and you know, hopefully, I know that we sold out all the allotments for through Syracuse anyway. So yeah. Hopefully, there's going to be a lot of Syracuse fans there, and we can, you know, show up, out.
What do you think? You know, with what is it? It's been close to 4 weeks off, has it not? 3 weeks, I guess, a little over 3 weeks by the time the game hits. You know, that's going to benefit these 2 quarterbacks. It's got to.
Yeah.
But as they've been playing all year, we're talking about 10 times Jack Allison has thrown the ball all year. He's been practicing every week. So, and then Trey Lowe, he has not had any in-game action. You know, if Syracuse defense can can rattle some cages early, it could change everything, you know. And
and you don't really know what to expect, because Will Grier, he came in as a preseason, like, Heisman favorite. So none of these guys, no matter how good they really were probably going to start over him anyway.
Right.
So the unknown, again, is, I mean, we haven't in the past, and this year, you know, we haven't really been great against running quarterbacks, and if Trey Lowe ends up, you know, being able to do that, then that could cause, you know, some concern. But then there's been, you know, I don't want to, you know, compare Jack Allison to Ryan Finley, like, the talent right now, because obviously Ryan Finley's got NFL talent. We don't know too much about Jack Allison, but as far as you know, their body type, their stature, the way that they play quarterback, that's the kind of, you know, player he is. And you saw Ryan Finley do pretty good against us too. So, and, like, again, I know that West Virginia, they have good receivers and good specialty players, receivers, running backs, athletes, stuff like that. So if we can't get pressure, then he might be able to pick us apart like some of the other pocket passers has as well. So,
hopefully
we can bring the same thing that we've been bringing.
Yeah, and you got backup offensive linemen in there. I mean,
yeah.
So,
well, yeah, but I mean, usually West Virginia gets, you know, I mean, they're deeper than us.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely, and there's that. But
they get a little bit of different caliber recruiting class when you really look at it. So, I mean, next man up. Obviously, it's not going to be the, you know, the first round pick, you know, that's in there, but it could still definitely be a, you know, formidable tackle that can come in, and, you know, he's probably playing for his spot next year. So,
and you know, you look at the time off. And you look at some of our team a little banged up, you know, here and there. The secondary was getting thin towards the end of the regular season, and you know, everybody knows the problems with Dungy. So hopefully, you know, these 3 weeks will, you know, be beneficial, obviously, to getting the extra practice. But most of all, I think to these players, to help them recover a little bit, heal and relax.
Right. And a lot of times when Babers talks, when you hear him talking in the post game press conferences and stuff about being able to compete with these other teams and stuff, he talks about, you know, depth And that's what he talked about. He was actually on the Golic and Wingo show, and they talked to him about expanding the teams from 4 to 8. And he gave an answer talking about how he thinks that that would make it easier for the obvious top teams to win, because most teams, when you get down to like 8, or some teams that get in, or for instance, if we would have got in, we wouldn't have been able to have the depth and the talent to go 3 straight weeks playing against teams at that talent level without, you know, the kind of depth that you need. So
for a playoff type, for a larger playoff.
Exactly. And that's what he talks about is the whole depth part of it. And to have 3 or 4 weeks off to be able to get healthy is huge for us. Cause you know, we're getting healthy for one game. And like he says, you know, the main starters, the main guys, you know, he thinks that he can go in there and they can compete, but over the long haul of a season, that's where you need the depth. Well, now we got a situation where we can get majority of everyone healthy. I know I think everyone's playing except for I think he talked about Cordy, but I don't necessarily think that's an injury thing. I think there's something else going on. I haven't heard so much about it.
Yeah, it was because we went through this in an away game one time. He didn't travel with the team, and it was personal reasons. So obviously we hope everything's okay there, but personal reasons, you know, obviously – they're not going to disclose any of that stuff, especially for a college kid. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, don't get it twisted. I'm sure that it helped West Virginia as far as some players getting healthy too, but they have that whole dynamic of NFL players sitting out.
They've got more to compensate for than we do. I mean, we've got.
They definitely do, but they have 3 of their better players on offense that aren't playing. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you look at the line, it was a big deal to Vegas. I mean, the line, we were like 7.5-point underdogs, and now we're 1.5-point favorites.
Okay. Well, that reminds me, Joe, and I'm going to ask Tyler the same thing when he comes on. So, Joe, you know what's coming up. Joe's my bookie pick.
I have no idea.
For the Camping World Bowl. Joe's my bookie pick for the Camping World Bowl. Join my bookie now, and they'll offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for this bowl season. Use promo code CUSE25 when you deposit to activate the offer. This promo code CUSE25. You play, you win, you get paid. Joe.
Yes.
We are currently sitting at a 1.5, did you say? 1 or 1.5?
No, I think it's 1.5. I don't know. Did you check my bookie lately?
Did I check my bookie lately, Joe? Of course I did. Of course I checked my bookie lately, Joe. Of course.
Then, I mean,
why would I have not been prepared for this moment right now?
Think that we're going to sit here and just extend this whole thing look it up.
Obviously I'm not doing that. But it is sitting at Syracuse as a 1.5-point favorite. Of course knew that already.
Right. We already knew that. Yes.
Syracuse a 1.5-point favorite, Joe. Where are you going? I mean,
I'm going to the bowl game.
You are going to the bowl game, and you're going to work the socials at the bowl game. And
I'm
going to
do my best,
You're going to work the socials at the bowl game.
I'm going to do my best. I mean, I'm going to have a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to do the best I can, man. I'm going to have family and friends up there.
Exactly.
I'm going to be having a couple of opportunities. Adult beverages.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of opportunities to work.
Look, but I'm going to get out there. I'm going to try to get out there as early as possible. I'm going to be wearing my the Cuse Militia shirt, so hopefully I can run into some people. And
Would be cool. Definitely.
Yeah, we were thinking about getting the alumni tailgate thing, but it was $75, and we really didn't want to strap ourselves to one area to try to, you know.
Yeah, you want to
get our money's
angle,
worth,
right?
You know. So yeah.
All right. Well, what do you see? What do you see if you're going to throw your money down, Joe? Where are you going, buddy?
Oh, man, I mean, my money would be Syracuse. Why not? I've done it all year. They've covered a majority of the year. And I mean, 1.5. It's if it was either way, I think it's going to be about a 3-point game if it's going to be that close. So, and like, again, I think it comes down to what we see out of that offense of West Virginia. If one of those quarterbacks can step up and kind of get the production that Will Grier did a little bit, then I can see it being a real, real close game shootout. But, you know, like you said, you never really know what you're going to see out of a backup tackle and, backup quarterbacks, young ones that haven't really had too much game experience either against a pretty decent defensive line with us. So if we come in and we just, you know, number 10 in sacks. We get the pressure on them, and we get the takeaways, win the takeaway battle, and stick to our guns the way we've been doing with the third down percentage for our defense, then.
Yep.
I think we're going to be all right. Plus, I mean, like you said, I like the fact of you saying that, you know, Dungy getting healthy 3 weeks. You know, this is going to be the healthiest Dungy in probably all year, because he got banged up against Western Michigan.
Right,
so,
the first game.
I mean, and it's his last game. So, I mean, I would say they just get strapped up and get ready to see a real, real good performance, because I don't see any way that this guy doesn't leave it all on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. His last game, senior year. He wants to be looked at as an NFL prospect, possibly. You know, he wants to go out there. He wants to show people. And I just hope he plays smart. And if he plays smart and he lasts the game, it could be bad news for West Virginia, because we know how Dungy plays when he's got a chip on his shoulder. And it can get ugly for people. And as far as you said about the defense, I don't want to ramble because I want to bring Tyler on. But the defense has been consistent at getting to the quarterbacks all year. You mentioned the third downs. It's going to be, if they keep doing what they did.
The takeaways.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's good. It's good. All signs point to Syracuse, in my opinion. But, you know.
I think we got to start strong. I think it's all about how we start. If we come out a little stagnant, we don't put points on the board, and we allow them to kind of figure out their way with the quarterback situation, then it just kind of gives them a little bit of extra time to stay motivated and stay in it. If we can come out and put points on the board, I can see us putting pressure on them and really making it difficult for those quarterbacks to get in any type of rhythm or get comfortable. So I think that's really what I'm looking for, is right in the beginning of the game is how we're going to do it. You know, I'd like to be able to get the ball first and go down and score a touchdown and, you know, make a statement
and
put the pressure right on the new quarterback that's going to be coming in and trying to prove himself.
I want to see cages get rattled. That's my thing, and that's key. You know, and one more thing, we've mentioned it before, but I just want to put it back out there. After Will Greer announced and Kajust announced, and then you had the injury, you've seen ticket sales for West Virginia were sold out. The Syracuse allotment's gone. So, you know, I wonder how many fans are going to be drawn in. I guess is what I'm saying, from West Virginia.
Yeah.
They're pissed. The fans were pissed.
I think that's going to be, I would, traditionally West Virginia, they travel really, really well. Back when they were in the Big East and they used to come up to the dome, they used to travel really, really well. I went to a majority of those home games and they always had a huge, huge little contingent. It's a little bit farther of a drive. And like you said, you know, they got some other better players not playing, and they think that they got, kind of screwed over on a bowl pick to where they thought they should have been in a better one. I don't know. My buddy, he said that he's worried about how they're going to travel. He doesn't think they're going to travel that well, but I'm sure they have their diehards, so I'm sure that they're going to have a nice little mark there. But I'd like to see our fans show up and look a lot better in the eyes of the bowl committees and stuff, you know, prove that we can –
we can sell those tickets and travel and be loud and be obnoxious. Yep. Exactly.
All right. Hopefully in the future, they're going to have a lot more games to think about picking Syracuse or not in these kind of bowls.
All right. Join us now of the Trademark Podcast, host of the Syracuse Football Digital Radio Program and former Syracuse defensive end, Tyler Marona. Tyler, thanks once again for coming back on, buddy. How you doing?
Doing really well, actually. How are you guys?
We are good. It's good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
It's nice to have you back, and we're, you know, going to be talking some bowl talk, wrapping up the football season. And we had some early signing stuff that went down. We want to get your thoughts on some of that. So first, I guess we'll do the West Virginia game. Your thoughts on that, your thoughts on, you know, kind of taking some of the steam out of the game, maybe some of the excitement out of the game, with you know, a couple people not playing and stuff. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, I mean, the game itself is going to be interesting, because I think the big thing that I'm really looking forward to is a month off of rest. Obviously, as we see what happens when this team gets rest, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I mean, we came off a bye week this year and we're really slow out of the gate. Then we've also had time where we get rested up and then we seem like we're ready to go full force. And I think the most critical part about this game is going to be Eric Dungy getting a month's rest, getting healthy, getting right, and then being able to just go, you know, full detonation on West Virginia. So I expect a lot of points. And then with West Virginia guys sitting out, that's just the way college football is going now. Because, you know, in theory, like, when, like, if you're at this bowl game or any bowl game and it's not the national championship or a playoff, like, you kind of realize, like, how pointless it is and, like, the ad dollars. So I get it from a player's perspective. But at the same time, like, Syracuse is a team that's not going to take this opportunity for granted because this is our first chance at 10 wins. You know, it's not like in a while, let me just say, like, this is time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, oh, we were hoping for 12 wins and we get 10. Like, that's not the type of bowl game that this is. Like, this is still a measuring stick game for a top team in the country. And guys, like, this is an old Big East rival. Like, we hate these guys, right? So, like, I know that's not lost on all the guys and, you know, especially the team in Syracuse as well.
It's definitely not. I mean, and you've got a defense in West Virginia, too, that's, you know, they're allowing 405 yards a game.
Yeah.
So, come on. You know, it should be fun. I think it's all up to their defense, really. I think that's what it might come down to. They're doing a kind of a tandem quarterback deal, so it's kind of hard
to have zero quarterbacks. That's old adage, right? So if you're playing two, it means you have zero quarterbacks. And plus, like, I'm not afraid of a guy like Will Grierson, even if he was going to play. I know that he's not, so it's kind of like, you know, pointless to talk about it. But Will Greer is not a guy that I'd be scared of because the way that the Syracuse team plays coverage, it would be different than anything else he had seen all year. So I think that on top of everything else, like this secondary and what they can do, ball hawking style, that's not the way the Big 12 plays. So I love this matchup regardless.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. I mean,
I mean, our D line against backup offensive tackles, like we're going to eat like this is I'm not going to say like we're going to win 100-0, but I really like our chances in this game.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And I mean, you know, you want to get the full feel, right, Joe? You want to get the full feel of their full team versus our full team. You don't want to give them excuses at the end of the day, you know,
right.
But who cares?
It would be nice.
Right.
It would be nice. But still, I mean, I have a few good friends that are really like diehard West Virginia fans and. They don't really seem to think it's going to be a big issue. They look at the quarterback as he was a four-star recruit, elite, a loving quarterback that transferred from Miami. So, and plus, I guess the left tackle coming in is like a redshirt junior who's like the offensive lineman's son or something. So they talk about how they're really not like worried about it. They're really actually more mad at the fact that they feel like they got snubbed from playing Washington State still. So it's going to be interesting to see because I don't even think they really seem worried about us.
I know, which is odd, because they should be, really. All right, so do you want to give a prediction on the game, Tyler? Are you bold enough to do so, or what? You want to wait till...
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Now, let's go 48-35.
Really? Okay.
Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's about... If you look at West Virginia's schedule, that's about what those games are in the Big 12.
And that's the thing, is, like, you just, like, you have to think, like... I was going to say like 40. I mean, closer to 40 points, maybe like more realistic. But I mean, if I'm going to give one last prediction this year, let's just make it a good one. 48-35.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. We had a glimpse of a lot of the 2019 class that's going to be coming in early signing day this week. What did you think overall? All three stars except for Mikel Jones, I believe, is the only four star there. So overall, how'd it look to you? What did you think about it?
I think Lee Koepka, if that's how you pronounce his last name, on some areas he was rated a four-star as well.
Okay,
yeah. I watched his tape, and I think he's a four-star level player. What's like the one glaring weakness we had all year, and that was our run defense, right? And that's what we recruited. Yep. Like we went out there and we wanted to go get guys that are ready to compete right away. I know that's what the coaching staff is looking for because we also have like, you know, we're trying to fill in gaps here. Like we're not trying to recruit a team anymore. We're trying to fill in gaps. Like we're trying to replace guys that are possibly leaving. And I think we have four linebackers coming in, three defense. Like we recruited a strong and a weak side defensive end. We recruited a strong safety, a free safety, you know, a Sam linebacker and a Will linebacker. Like, what does that tell you? That means that we are trying to fix the run defense. Like they hear, like they know, like they're not dumb, right? So like we're trying to fix that run D. And I think that those two linebackers and our two safeties are going to come in and contribute because we need depth. And that's just, you know, it's the name of the game now. Like you got to rotate guys. So I love our class so far. And I also love our tight end recruit as well. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now. He's not the crisp.
Andrew Tuizama?
No. No, Luke Benson.
That's it. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's not like the most crisp route runner. He's not going to be Jason Witten out there running, but he is great. He has great lower body strength, and he's able to move defensive ends off the line of scrimmage in high school, which I like, you know, especially a guy that's coming from a decently sized program. So I really like that because we need a tight end that's reliable, and I think that he may be able to come in and help out.
Yeah, and they said something like he made the state championship in the 100-yard dash or something like that. So he can really run.
Yeah, I mean, he can run. Like, he has separation speed in a tight end. I mean, he's not the biggest guy again. He's like 6'2", 210. But, you know, if you have a guy that can stretch the field in the middle, I mean, that'll help out Tommy so much. It's not even funny. Yeah.
And to piggyback off your linebackers too, Tyler, that Jeff Canton, that linebacker that's coming from Canada, I wonder what he would be if he actually played in the U.S. in the high school ranks, because if you watch his tape, he just jumps off of the tape, I feel. So, I mean, I think I'm right on board with those three linebackers that they got. I think have a really good chance of coming in and making instant impact.
Now, you know, we had the viral video with Cooper Dawson too. I'll just mention that. I mean, this thing made it all the way to Fox and Friends the other morning. Was it yesterday morning? Just a great story, and you love have Babers recruiting guys like that with some serious class, and you know, you gotta love seeing that, don't you?
Well, I mean, this is like the Jason Garrett adage, right? Like, we're always looking for the right type of guy, and I think that gets lost because, you know, there's this documentary on, I think it was Amazon Prime, it's called QB1, and they were showing the different, you know, players that they had. And the offensive coordinator that I was recruiting, Tate Martell, he comes in to the, you know, the in-home visit, and he says, "Hey, how's school going?" And his parents said he's showing up late every day. And he's like, "All right, well, you're going to show up late when we need you to hit 4th and 3, you know, to win the national title." And like, these are things that like people like think about. It's like, oh, okay, like, is he going to be the right type of guy? But seriously, like, if you can't show up to class on time, if you can't like, you know, include people in your life that have meant something to you, like, it does speak volumes, because you know that you can rely on this person when it really comes down to it.
Integrity, right?
Yeah, I mean, and like, that actually matters. Like, weird, right?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And you could tell Dino Babers is that type of guy who, you know, like, if you go, there's an article, and I think it was on orangefizz.net, I think, where they went through and they put up a bunch of videos of the guys talking about, giving their thoughts on Coach Babers, and everything was like, you know, he's not just a coach. He treats us like his kids. He's getting us ready for life. He's getting us ready for, you know, to be men. And someone like Cooper Dawson, who is a, you know, going to be a student athlete that's going to be able to, you know, instill that in his teammates as well. I mean, he's a class act. So I just thought I'd mention him. Who stands out to you the most in this class so far? If you hit it already, just reiterate and we can move on, because you mentioned a little bit.
Probably those two four-star linebackers, yeah, honestly. This is like one of the first classes that we've had with multiple four-stars in it, and there's a chance for more. I think that we're literally getting quote-unquote star power in this class. So I like the fact that, you know, those guys are taking the plunge to come up and join us in Central New York. So I think that speaks the most volume, because we're starting to attract real talent, and it's going to keep getting better from there.
Hitting the field right away, you think? Is freshmen going to be out there? Or?
We have no choice, guys. Yeah. We have no linebackers. So, like, if they're not hitting the field right away, then there's a big problem. Like, yeah, they didn't pan out.
All right. How about the players that are returning, some of the seniors? Do you see any of them, Alton Robertson, trying to leave early, testing the waters, anything like that?
Here's the deal. I think he may flirt with the idea. It's not quite like basketball where you can go to the combine and come back. It's kind of like, you know, once you do it, you're committed to it. But if I were to guess, Alton's probably like 239 to 242 pounds right now. That's not going to cut it in the NFL. Like, he needs to come back and be 250 plus. So he can make himself a lot of money by coming back, or you can test it out and be like, hey, I'm betting on myself, saying that I can put on 10 pounds in the NFL and be that guy. But it's
just harder it's harder to make the transition from college football to NFL than college basketball to the NBA.
Certainly. I mean, there's no doubt. And I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, this isn't like a playing style like issue, you know, it's a size and speed issue, right? So like, he has one half of it, but it's way easier to project if you actually have the size than to guess like, oh, will he put on the size? So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Out of this year's senior class, The guys that are leaving. Do you see any NFL prospects coming out of that core group, guys?
I mean, there's always going to be a prospect in Chris Slayton because he has the size.
Yeah.
But what is his NFL impact going to be? I don't know, man. Like you don't realize like how good you have to be to play in the NFL because like a guy like Steve Ishmael barely getting any play. A guy like Zaire Franklin barely getting any play. Cam Lynch, like these guys are like really good. Jay Brahms of the world. You know, granted he's injured, but Shamarco Thomas, like these are all draft picks and like they're barely getting any play. So, and I mean, the NFL also takes into account that this class has gone 4-8 three times. Like there is like a legit reason for concern, like for these guys, like if they're going to go up against guys from Clemson or other big ACC schools, because granted they may not get drafted and still be undrafted free agents and play well. It's just, it's hard to project right now because the NFL, it's like, it's a damning business. Like they want to find a reason not to keep you around rather than to keep you around. So I think that, you know, a couple guys from Syracuse, like a Chris Slayton, you know, Eric Dungy may have a chance to at least show off maybe in a, you know, preseason camp. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, like, I just don't see the
ability to
throw the ball.
Are you going to break hearts right now?
Any of those offensive linemen you think got a shot or?
Absolutely. I think there will be a couple guys that go into a training camp and they'll shake out. You know, a guy like Cody Conway, a guy like Cody Martin. But I just don't see the athleticism there to be able to, you know, contain a guy like I still go to Jason Pierre-Paul, even though he's like, you know, 40 years old now, but you know, he was just the baddest mofo ever, you know, when he was in his prime. So it's like, if you put him at, you know, I just don't know how these guys would hold up against the likes of Jadeveon Clowney or, but like, that's what happens. Sounds like every team has a stud ass, you know, defensive end in the NFL. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to be on your game all the time or else you're not going to last. So, I mean, ultimately, you know, these guys control their own destiny, but it'll be interesting, but I think that next year's class, like let's say a guy like Allen Robinson stays put on that weight, we should see him probably maybe second, third round, something like that. Like I see like high draft picks coming soon.
With Dungy, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, but what do you think, you know, a tight end position or something like that? You think
honestly, I think that if... I think he's a running back, honestly.
Really?
I don't know if he could. Oh, I've been saying he's a running back forever, but I don't think he has the durability. You know what I mean? Like,
right, that's the thing, yeah.
It's just like, I wish he could like stay healthy and be a running back in the NFL, because I think he'd do fine. I really do. I think he has the vision and he knows offenses.
He's great with the ball, too. He takes
care
of the ball.
He's a great ball carrier, and that's why I think that he's a running back, but it's just like, he just doesn't, like, the measurables aren't there. I think he would have been a fantastic college running back, but I think he was good enough to play quarterback, obviously, so, but that's just kind of my take.
No, you see Taysom Hill on the Saints.
Yeah, actually,
you know what I mean?
That could be a thing, you know? It's like, if a team wants to get experimental like that and have them return kicks, have them do gadget plays, I think it would really work. I really do. But, I mean, it would take somebody to take a big gamble and then also Eric to, like, go out and ball out, like, constantly to the point where it's like he's, like, undeniably an NFL player, which, hey, he may be a special teamer for forever. I don't know. You know, who knows? Yeah.
I mean, he can make a living doing it. My thing with Dungy is he's just so injury prone. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, the first time he gets injured, he's going to get cut. It's just the truth.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think he'd be able to play tight end or running back. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, like what Tyler was saying, exactly. So, but hey, Tyler, I got a question. Going back to the recruiting, something that I wanted to know about. If with these, like, I guess Dino Babers, he said there's like plus or minus 5 scholarships left in the class. If it were up to you, I mean, where would you want to see them go as far as position wise to maybe fill these last, 5? I mean, you know, there's the graduate transfers and normal transfers, JUCOs. So, I mean, there's so many different, you know, alleys. But I mean, where would you go? Where would you look to go as far as position and stuff?
All right, so this may be a little bit like surprising, but I would like them to go after a potentially project quarterback, a guy that's a really stud athlete, and then maybe see if we can develop into like having a guy that's maybe more of like a Lamar Jackson type. Now, granted, I just asked for them to recruit a Heisman quarterback, but
got you.
But what if we spent a scholarship on a guy that could potentially be like a stud athlete back there that can be a Taysom Hill type of guy, you know, like that is developing his quarterback play. So by the time Tommy is ready to move on, we'll have maybe 2 years of a guy that's studied behind a guy that's going to be a cerebral type guy. And then we can come have a guy that's maybe more trending towards what Eric was, but a little bit better because he's had the time to develop behind a guy that's a passer. So that's definitely somewhere I'd like to see. And then separately from that, I think we should just keep going after offensive linemen, because that's my biggest thing, is you can never have too many offensive or defensive linemen. I think that we shored up our defensive line pretty well. So I think if we can spend, you know, maybe two more slots on O-linemen, and then from there we save two slots, because you never know what injuries are going to happen going into spring and then throughout, even into summertime. I mean, I was a late signing. Michael Lasker, my roommate, he was a late signing. So it's always valuable to keep maybe one or two slots open. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but I think that a project quarterback like that, an athlete type guy, and then maybe one, two more offensive linemen would be, I think that would make a home run in class.
I'm definitely on board with the offensive line part.
Yeah, they're like,
you know, with us losing the three starters. Yeah.
They're the unsung heroes of college football, really. You know, you don't think about
it
much.
And they always will be.
Yeah.
The trenches. You win them in the trenches, man. Yeah,
exactly. All right, Tyler, one last question for you. And this one's very serious, okay?
Okay.
What, Joe? When can we expect the reemergence of the green screen, Tyler? Because the first time we ever talked, you mentioned the green screen. And I was fascinated. So I went and I found you, and you do a great job on the green screen, bro. So what?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I'll answer your question here with a little bit of a sidebar. But the Trademark Podcast is dropping another season tomorrow on Christmas Eve. So today, as you're listening to this, I will be dropping, I believe, 5 episodes this week. And then throughout the week, I'll be dropping 2 more. So for a total of 7. And then we're going to take a little break because, you know, life is busy. And from there,
yeah, and you
after
just
that,
moved.
Go ahead.
You just moved. You're starting a new life in a different state. So,
yeah, and I'm actually going to be moving into coaching high school football. So,
that's awesome.
So with that being said, the green screen will be out again, but I'm just not exactly sure. I love it. I love being on camera. I'd much prefer to, you know, be on camera than do the podcast. But, you know, it's a lot of work, but I think that there'll be some stuff coming up. There's a lot of stories I want to tell. There's a couple different things I think would be great on camera, just because, if nothing else, I like engaging the fans and engaging people that love Orange football, because, and the reason behind the season that's coming up right now for the Trademark Podcast is, you know, just highlighting the great people that are Syracuse Orange fans, you know, whether that's reporters, whether that's players, whether that, you know, whoever it is. Like, I wanted to give back to the community that gave me so much. And I just wanted to engage with people that love the Orange just as much as I do. And that's I think you'll see that a lot with the season dropping today.
That's awesome. So Where can they find you on Twitter?
At Tyler Morona. Not hard to find, I don't think. I'm the only Tyler Morona out there as far as I know.
You are. And all right, so we should expect the green screen eventually. It will come back. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, well, I stop being lazy, man. It's
all good. It's all good.
I recorded one of my podcasts with Charlie Loeb, former Syracuse quarterback, on my lunch break. So,
really?
At work. So, yeah, I mean, I'm grinding. I'm hustling. I'm trying to do it for everybody. You know, that's what we do. It's no days off over at the Trademark Podcast. It's no days off with you guys over there at Cuse Militia.
That's right. That's true. Hey, that's true. I do all the work.
Joe likes putting people on the spot, Tyler. So, you know.
Joe just comes in and does his thing. Joe does, like, 5 minutes of research, and he comes in and does his thing. I'm like on the laptop. I'm printing stuff out. I'm highlighting stuff. And then Joe comes on. He's like,
behind you. I mean, I know that you're trying to act a part. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it is what it is. I get it.
Exactly.
Tyler, he rents that room out for this.
You rented that at the local bar. So you conned him into it.
I can only hope one day that I get the green screen skills. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to set it up. You know, I just need a barrier from my the plants I brought in for the wintertime.
No,
you know what I'm saying? So,
those aren't your plants.
But
it's mold growing in the background. I hate to inform you.
Tyler, dude, you're always welcome on the show. We love your insight.
Thanks, man.
I think you're great. I always tell people, if you're going to listen to any other podcast after the Cuse Militia Podcast, go over to the Trademark Podcast and listen to the Syracuse Football Digital Radio Show with Tyler Morona. So,
hey, one quick question before we go.
Go ahead.
Did you? I almost declared the Orange basketball team dead. Did they get back in your good graces after the 30-point win?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is when we talked, I talked to you the last time on the phone was right after the Georgetown game, and I was like, you know, they're a second half team, and, you know, they always start slow, and then they come out and they play the first half, and then they stunk in the second half of 2 games, but, you know, you got to stick with them. I mean, what else am I going to do? You know, there's so much negativity out there that I'm not going to I don't want to dogpile on it, but a good win. I don't care if it was Arkansas State. Do you?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's like this.
It's like they just have to win that game.
I declared him dead on arrival. Like, it was dead man walking the rest of the season. It's like Duke's coming around the corner. We have UVA, North Carolina. It's like, God damn, man. It's like, is this team going to do anything whatsoever? We got a guy at 7'2", can't even put the ball in the hole.
Stonehands. Old Stonehands.
There are things I'm just furious with. Our guys take 100 threes, we make one of them. It's like we're a 1% three-point shooting team. Then we have a game where we can't miss. I'm furious, guys. Like, I can't keep doing this to myself. Yeah. I'm like been a fan for like 6 years. You guys have been doing this for like 30 years. I can't even begin to. I'm bald already, and I'm 24. What other hair am I going to lose? Like, this is insane. Yeah.
I know. Between you and Joe, you got you got like four of them hairs. I mean,
yeah.
Well, it used to be easier to watch, but it's been tough. They don't call them the cardiac cues for nothing. You know, ACC play is going to be brutal this year. It's going to be. But like Coach Boeheim said, the expectations were based on three games played in the postseason last year in the tournament. And expectations were high. They won those games, I think, by a total of 3 points, I want to say. I never went back and looked.
Snuck in the tournament. So
Yeah, barely sneaking in. Didn't even know. Bubble team the whole year. And then everybody talks about, well, we got five returning players. Well, those five returning players were on that team last year. So, and, you know, thank God for Elijah Hughes, because he's going to be the star. He's bailed us out more than once. And so you can just only hope that they can gel around Tyus and Elijah Hughes, because Frank Howard's he's still on the struggle bus, man. So
it's like, if we didn't beat Ohio State at this point, like, this season is just a complete disaster. Yeah. I mean, like, we can't be just the people that are like, oh, well, at least we beat Georgetown. You know, it's like, we're not like a one-win football team, you know, like, to compare. You know, it's like, we're a national program here. Like, let's step this thing up. Yeah. And granted, you know, I'm spoiled now because I'm a Lakers fan and we have LeBron. And now I'm like, I'm totally back in, you know, winner mode. And I don't know. It's just, it's hard. It's tough. And college sports, it's like the most fickle thing in the world. And I hate it. But at the same time, it's what makes it the best, because it's like, you know, you hate to lose and you hate to see it.
Yeah.
You
know? And Syracuse has some of the most fickle fans, too. So, because we're spoiled.
And unlike college football, you have the chance all season in college basketball to just to get better and get in the tournament, you know? So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, all right, Tyler, thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it. I did not expect the hoops talk, but that was a great bonus for everybody. So, you can find Tyler Morona at the Trademark Podcast. He's on iTunes. You can find him on Twitter at Tyler Morona. No spaces, that just flows, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and shout out the women's basketball team, because they're the only thing that's like keeping me sane right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if they go in the tank, that's it for me, guys. It's a wrap.
All right. Hey, again, I want to thank Tyler for coming on. I want to thank all of you for listening. Thank you, Armchair All-Americans, my bookie, JP Mulligan's, Shovingtown Barbershop. Again, thank you to all of you. This episode, for Tyler and Joe, I'm Sean. Yep. We're out. Cue the bells.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
It's the last time you're going to hear the bells, by the way. That's it.
Thank God.
That's it for the bells.
Thank you, baby Jesus.